Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Really, Dominic?
I need you looking fabulous. Probably sexist these days, but lovely old music.
Yeah, the piano theme.
But it goes a bit weird. Like, it's almost like mystery music when he sees the dinner jacket on the bed. Like what?
It's
well,
so
I think it's a sort of playful scene.
Yeah.
It almost, even though it isn't that similar to this scene, but in some ways it reminds me of Temple of Doom when Kate Capshaw and, you know, Harrison Ford have that sort of to and fro, and they keep going back into each other's room.
That's such
a good scene. Playful, you know, between the two. I don't know, it just sort of slightly reminded me of that. Like, like, why'd you keep coming back in? Yeah. But as I say, the tux is given an origin.
I know.
But what I mean is Bond's love for tuxes, and she's measured him by looking at him.
Yeah, she sized him up.
And it's back to thing we discussed earlier, isn't it? Is that it's almost like, oh, this is old school Bond. He's objectifying the woman, but she's also done the same to him. So again, it's that reversal. Again.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
That feels very conscious, but also enjoyable, I would say.
Yeah.
But she's like polishing him as well, isn't she? She's, you know, he's, or
his ego.
Sorry. Well,
he's Oscar.
Just ease.
Yeah.
So we get the first shot of Daniel Craig in the dinner jacket, and it's like the title theme merged with the Bond theme. And it's, as I said, I think I said it already, but in the cinema, it was again like, oh, yeah. Even though I was not, you know, not pro Craig when he was cast, I was thinking, crisp. But you know, when that sort of Bond moment hits you.
Yeah, I agree. I remember us sort of looking at each other and.
Yeah.
Someone, was it Harry? Did you put your hands over your crotch?
Yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah,
I had no idea.
And I think it's a nice moment. You know, it's a moment to make movies. That's a sort of seminal moment.
Is the suggestion that whenever he wears dinner jackets now, he thinks of her? Is it like a bit of her legacy? Or
it's quite interesting.
But I mean, he'll have to wear dinner if he's attending these things. He will have to wear dinner jackets. Yeah. It's not a particularly new invention.
He's probably worn one before, wasn't he?
I know, that's what I can't fully understand about it. I know, it's like it's a new idea.
This film, lads, is called Casino Royale, and we've finally, after many, many hours, got to the casino scene. Well, we've already had one, we know, in the Bahamas, and this, it's not one long casino scene, it's like broken up, isn't it, into a few. It's a lovely casino, isn't it? It's obviously, I presume this is a set for the actual interiors, but it was set at the Grand Hotel pub in Carlo Viveri in Czech. Mm. Lovely sets, isn't it? Lovely, lush, beautifully shot. The colours. Yep. I think we mentioned this before, the colours of the casino. Roger Deakins will be proud.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it looks stunning. And I think I saw somewhere a comparison of the shot when Pierce Brosnan as Bond enters the casino in Monte Carlo and when Daniel Craig as Bond enters this casino. Yeah. And it's like really similar sort of shot that obviously Martin Campbell did. And, you know, both look amazing. Mm.
Let's just re-establish. Martin Campbell's doing an excellent job on this.
Oh,
he is.
So good.
He's not pulled a foot wrong, has he?
No.
It's not his fault. So no, nothing's
wrong. Although the black and white opening, I'm still not. But yeah.
Yeah, but
he's doing a stellar job.
If they included the cricket match, then it would have been.
Yeah. That's the fault of the editors. We're not blaming Martin Campbell for that.
Leave Martin alone on that. Yeah.
Everyone's got to look up that deleted scene. You've got to look it up.
Oh, please. Dear me. I've had golf and now tennis in Octopussy. James Bond does sport. That's another bonus episode we could produce. Anyway, back to this blessed film. Right. Lovely, lovely black velvet tux from Le Chiffre. Absolutely gorgeous clothes from him.
Yeah.
Yep. I was also quite taken by the croupier's waistcoat. I couldn't tell if it was tacky or exquisite, but
yeah,
certainly eye-catching.
Mm.
Yeah.
In a weird way, he pulls it off. I think it's because he looks so good. I mean, if I wore it, it'd be horrendous. But like, he's got this trim beard going on and everything. He looks top, doesn't he? Really.
I don't know, but is he a genuine croupier? I mean, you'd probably rather do that. You might as well employ someone who knows what they're doing rather than an actor and teach them the tricks. That's what they usually do, isn't it, with these technical parts?
Yeah,
yeah. He might be the technical advisor. Yeah.
You mean a bit like, you know, in Armageddon, they obviously got drillers how to be astronauts.
Absolutely.
Teaching astronauts how to drill would have been easier. Yeah,
they can do everything else. You know, you have to, you have to be able to do everything.
And I've heard on that theory that drilling and mining is a very, very, very technical thing that you've got to learn for decades.
And an astronaut isn't.
I don't know. Ask Richard Branson.
on the Armageddon commentary, where Ben Affleck is clearly three sheets to the wind, he details a conversation where he brought that up with Michael Bay and was promptly told to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, slightly different type of director than John Glenn, say. You know, bit more in your face, maybe.
Yeah,
yeah.
Dictatorial, some may say. No, we love Michael Bay. And if we don't, then you can leave the podcast. I'm only joking. You've not done one on FYR, have you, James? Michael Bay?
We've not had Bay on the pod yet. I watched Six Underground the other week.
Oh, yes.
He's a director who needs some oversight. I've got to be honest. He just basically made a two-hour sizzle reel of all the cool shit that you can blow up. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, it all looks wonderful, but it's just... As a film, it just doesn't work at all. It's just a mess thrown together.
Well, he's obviously famous for comedy. That's what he's best at, isn't it? All the comedy scenes in his films. Anyway, the casino. I think you might have said this before, John, but the one of the women at the table was also in You Only Live Twice.
As I said it last time, I mentioned it about the woman in the yacht.
On the boat.
Yeah.
I may have got that wrong. It's certainly the woman on the casino table. Right. I don't know if it's the same woman or not, so apologies if I got that wrong. But yeah, that is
Chris, isn't it?
What's she called? Was it Ling? Is that a name? Was that a name in it?
In You Only Live Twice.
In You Only Live Twice?
I should know this. People are screaming again at
the girl at the start.
Yeah. I think we're going to be getting an S. An SGBW at this
point. Yeah, I'm afraid.
Our umpteenth of the just this episode, yeah.
But it's still decent
game,
viewing,
wrong.
So it's all right.
Yeah.
I like the different competitors, you know, from different countries and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, like a World Cup sort of tournament.
Multi combat.
Yeah, it is. So.
It's different worlds.
Some aliens.
And we have our second wrestling lookalike after we had Paul Bearer in Octopussy. We have Mark Henry at the table.
Yes! And, good lookalike. Very good lookalike.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a cool chocolate himself.
He is, yeah. Oh, how good's wrestling? Yeah, there's a the Japanese guy with the really, really long ponytail. Yeah. He looks a bit like the guy in Spy Hard. He would have been younger then, you know. You're a mind steal. And the guy,
yes.
I looked it up though, it isn't, unfortunately. Yeah. So a bit disappointing that. Yeah. It's a unique table, isn't it? Full of real characters.
He's gorgeous though, isn't he?
He is a gorgeous man, yeah. Bond is obviously distracted by Vesper's entrance more than anyone else. But is that sort of deliberate because he wants to convey that he's being distracted? Like,
I think it's a bit of a like Solange.
Yes,
I think it's a bit of a hey, look, you know, to everyone else. Wow, look at this woman.
Coming. Yeah, well, they can see, can't they? Goodness,
I'm the one who gets to have it off with no
poker.
very good.
Kiss her. Yeah.
You know your onions. Yeah, Mathis, lovely, isn't it? Like, beautiful. He does comment on her as well.
Mathis is so annoying during the whole of the casino. He's
commentary.
Oh, he is. He's the worst commentator in the world.
There was one bit where he goes, you remember the Friends episode where where they have the competition and Ross comes to the table and he goes, $200. There's a bit that like Mathis does that. And he just goes, $100 million.
We're like, we know. Ross. We know.
Yeah. Audience.
$1 million.
But yeah, like this whole sequence, isn't it? So Vesper comes in, all the attention's on her. Bond spaffs $100,000 like it's nothing. Then he goes to the bar and he's like, oh yeah, it was worth it, so I can find out his tell. And then Mathis, who apparently knows everything, all of a sudden goes, what do you mean? He's like, it's not his fault, it's just he's Basil Exposition, essentially. Yeah. But I found him quite irritating during the casino scenes because he's just commenting on everything. It's like, I know, I'm watching it. Yeah. I don't need you to keep telling me exactly what's happening.
Yeah, unless you're not as with it and you need his...
There were times when I was grateful for his contribution.
If he was talking about the hands rather than like, oh, there's a lot of money in the pot.
That's exposition. We get Bond asking for the most complicated martini. I couldn't even bother to dictate it. I didn't understand what it was, but I presume, again, it's like, this is his drink at the moment before he gets the, you know, what is it? Bond Begins, so it's Martini Begins, isn't it?
Yeah, the origin story for the...
Vodka
Martini.
Are we completely bypassing and mentioning the lovely guy who's in charge of the money, the Swiss guy?
Oh,
Lendl,
yeah.
We could talk for days about him. Oh. Lendl, yeah.
Lendl, is he called?
Oh, he's incredible. Oh, Lendl.
I thought it was Lendl.
I thought...
I've just watched
Ivan
the last half hour before when he comes back at the end and it's Mendel.
Yeah.
Mendel, right.
Yeah, is Mendel.
Like that small Chilean central midfielder or centre-back for Gary... Oh, no, it's Gary Medel, sorry.
Gary Medel?
For Cardiff, yeah. He was called Gary after Gary Lineker. Anyway, forget that. He's not even called that, so it's...
He was a shit.
That's what he was paid to do, yeah.
Yeah.
But this guy is so bummed. This guy
is he a real character. Person? Is he not an actor? Who knows?
Oh yeah, no. He's has he been in anything else?
He can't be an actor, can he?
He feels like he's been in something else. But...
Should look.
Yeah.
You might have met him. I think there's more chance you've met him.
Not in a casino.
When he says hello. And it might just be because I've had to watch Frozen so much with my children. He sounds like the guy who goes, hello, because I'm a blowout. And he sounds like that guy who's in. Yeah. He was like, oh, it's the Big Summer Blowout guy from Frozen.
Sadly, you're right.
Hello.
So nice. The others all order the same drink. Sort of. Why is that? It was quite funny, but I have that, yes. And all these silly accents and stuff came.
So
annoys Le Chiffre, doesn't it?
My interpretation is that Bond deliberately does that to distract people at the table. That's my interpretation. Okay. Like, that's why he says, because he says initially, look, and then he starts going, oh, let's try and make it a party. And he's building that party atmosphere. And obviously everybody else is loving it. So I just think it's a good, it's a nice little move, really. I quite like it.
And Jeffrey writes like, yeah, I'll have the same. Keep the fruit. I love that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's really good.
So forgive me for not knowing. So is it a really obvious drink that would distract people? That is it a really unusual thing to do, what he asks for?
It's all about the pomp, isn't it? He's making himself the alpha at the table. You know, look at me with my beautiful partner. Mm. Now I'm making a big song and dance out of ordering this drink. He's just trying to disrupt Le Chiffre, and he's getting everybody else involved. It's probably some spy psychology that us mere mortals are not privy to.
It does seem to work, though. It just seems to get it.
Yeah, it gets the job done, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he goes to the bar to snog Vespa. And then she tries to resist. Is that
just having some hygienic snogging?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It is. It is supposed to be her in character, isn't it? She's pretending that she's annoyed with him having lost a bit of money, or is that later? Sorry, it's just because
it's
quite
so
hard because I, you know, sadly I didn't watch the last half hour last night, or well, this would be the last hour or so. So
yeah. No, you are right. In the casino. Annoyed at him. Yeah, this is the bit where he's just loses 100 grand like it's nothing, so that he can find out Le Chiffre's tell. Yeah.
Isn't the tell and a poker face the same thing?
No.
Or is it is poker face? Is that
poker face is where
you can't tell what they're thinking.
You can't tell.
Whereas a tell is the opposite, so the you give away what you're thinking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got a good poker face, means he doesn't give it away.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So, but then of course there's all this bluffing where if he's, you know, putting his fingers on his forehead, that's meant to think that it's a tell, but it isn't later on. Is that all right?
Yeah, and Le Chiffre is setting him up anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's making him think that he's revealing a tell when he's not, and everyone in the audience must be going, of course, that's not it. It's so obvious. He's like literally going, "I'm bluffing." But Bond's like, "No, I'm in charge here. I know what's going on." Stop this.
But if I can understand that, then it's successful filmmaking.
Yeah.
So, is that a
and commentary? Like
and commentary, yeah.
oh, Balak.
Turn commentary off.
Yeah. Yeah, a little interlude with some fights and stuff. We've got Le Chiffre's babe. I can't remember her name now, innit? She's kidnapped, isn't she, by Malacca. So he's not been in it since like the first scene, has he?
No.
First scene proper after the pre-title sequence, yeah. Yeah, she's been kidnapped, and that's to try and force Le Chiffre to get into the hotel room, because obviously he's after Le Chiffre for spaffing, for want of a better word, all that money. Bond collects a parcel. I don't know what, I can't remember what that was.
He gets the bug from Mathis, doesn't he? He puts it inside Le Chiffre's
inhaler. The inhaler, yeah.
So that he knows where he is. And then he gets an earpiece, doesn't he? That must be linked to the tracking device on his crucially souped up Sony Ericsson phone. I had a Sony Ericsson, it was not as good as this.
Yeah.
Do any of this stuff. He gets a package with the earwig and a lovely gun with a silencer on.
Yeah.
It's very crisp, yeah. Gadget, real gadgets here. The Daniel Craig here. Malacca obviously threatens to chop off the chief's girlfriend's hand, and of course the fact that he doesn't really react shows that he doesn't really care about her, does he? And Malacca notices that. And Bond hears a screaming, so that sort of alerts him. Bond, he's with Vespa now, isn't he? Because they have that snog to... it doesn't really work, does it? It's meant to sort of...
No, he gets seen again. Yeah. This is the third or fourth time
the frequency in his earpiece goes off.
Yeah.
Like a hearing aid, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
It's the second time in the film that an agent has been caught out due to earpiece.
Yeah.
Take your hand off your bloody ear, or whatever.
Cover up your ear, Bond, while you're snogging, you maniac.
Yeah. Cool. But,
maybe. I think it was good. I think it was good that the warlords are back at this point, because it reminds the audience why Le Chiffre is in this game and what the stakes are for him personally.
Yeah.
Because you would be, you know, this is like, it was maybe over an hour and 20, 25 minutes previous when we last saw these guys. So you'd be forgiven for forgetting exactly what the stakes were for Le Chiffre. So it makes it clear why he's so keen to win this game of poker.
Sorry, Tom. I think you will be being served with a SBGW. Oh, no. It's not Malacca. He's the one in Madagascar, isn't he?
Yeah, it's Obama in it.
Obama.
Oh, dear me. Obama.
Obama,
Yes, I apologise. I apologise.
Sorry, I just...
That's crucial. Well, obviously, like you say, James, I had obviously forgotten who these guys were after an hour and 20 minutes of not seeing them,
They're pretty angry, aren't they? They're jolly cross.
Well, they want the money, don't they?
Well, I mean, going back to the knife bit, the big saw bit, that is a very harrowing...
Yeah.
I look back, and apart from maybe License to Kill, I don't remember anything that's as visually shocking to me.
Yeah, I agree.
That in a Bond film up to this point. I don't think I can think of anything. I remember when I went to cinema, I was like, wow, I was really...
Yeah. I watched it last time with Jennifer, and on that bit, and the fight in the stairs, she was gasping at this. She was quite distraught.
Yeah. You feel every blow. Yeah. It's pretty gratuitous in the... Yeah, it's not pleasant.
And that's what I like about this film, is that there's quite a lot of villains to keep track of, and they all present real danger. They're all pretty ruthless and pretty brutal. Even if they're secondary or tertiary villains, you still feel that there's danger, which is which is a credit to the script and to the performances as well.
Yeah,
and the performance of the machete. How good the machete is. You feel every swipe and every clang. It's almost you see every spark as well when it hits something.
Lovely sound design in this stairwell.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's Gangs of London. Has anyone seen that? Some horrible machete scenes in that, dear me.
Yeah.
If this made you gasp, that will...
Yeah.
18 is too low a rating, I think. Yeah, so we get the famous staircase fight. Yeah, a bit of a sword fight, isn't it, almost?
Well, I like it because it's 2-on-1, isn't it, against Bond, and he just gets rid of one of them straight away, just throws him off the top. Brilliant. Very efficient.
Great physical fight. I mean, I'm not... I absolutely love it. To me, it's not as good, but it's got that Martin Campbell stamp, like the Pierce Brosnan Sean Bean fight.
Yeah.
GoldenEye. Oh. It's that very quick blow-for-blow fight.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
It's right up there with the Peter Franks fight, isn't it?
No, it's not that good. Come on, man.
No, but I think... No,
it is good.
For the same reasons.
We discussed on the Skyfall episode, like, I would have liked, you know, a bit like this, a more, you know, with Patrice at the top of the skyscraper, it looks incredible and everything like that, but it's not as intense a fight as this, and you can't quite see what's going on and everything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally agree.
There's one fantastic shot during this where I don't know what he's quite done. He's like changed up the frame rate or switched out the stock or something for this one moment where the lead guy, what was his name again, Tom?
Obana. Yes.
Obana. Obana. He's got the machete in hand and he kicks Bond down a flight of stairs.
Yeah.
But Bond goes backwards down the stairs but stays on his feet and crashes into the wall at the other end.
Yeah.
It's just a really good stylistic choice there that makes you feel the impact of that kick. Like, this guy's a bad dude.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It's a horrible, like, the way it ends, it just takes so long, doesn't it, to try
it does,
and...
Yeah.
I know Matt's, again, famously not a fan of strangulation deaths, but there's a little bit more to it. Because Vespa gets involved and that leads to her crying and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's not very nice. And the gun is eventually, he managed to get a gun off him, and then does he strangle him with his arms or his legs? I can't remember now. Pretty horrible.
It's a chokehold, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. A bit like the guy in Skyfall at the Skyfall Estate in LA.
Yeah, that's with his leg and...
Legs, that's the one I was getting mixed up, yeah. This is better. And then Bond hides the bodies, but later we see that Mathis must have...
Yeah, no, Bond asks Vesper to tell Mathis about the bodies or something.
Right, and that obviously links in with who to trust later on, doesn't it?
Yeah, which yes. I'll need people to clarify for me.
Yeah, yeah, it's me too. Yeah, thank you. James, John. Yeah. Not you, Harry. No.
It's all there, guys. It's all there.
You're guiding us through it. It's very, very grateful. Thank you. Wipes away the blood. He's in the mirror now, isn't he?
Yeah,
topless, obviously, again in the hotel room. Drinks a nice neat whiskey, has a good stare at himself, likes what he sees. Maybe
does he crush some aspirin into it as well? That's the ultimate sort of badass thing. He just cold
badass,
murdered two people in a stairwell.
Bit of a headache. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think this is a very significant scene for the Daniel Craig era, because as far as I can remember, this is the first time that we see Daniel Craig drink an alcoholic drink as pain relief as opposed to enjoyment. Whereas, like, if you think about Quantum of Solace, he gets hammered on a plane. And Skyfall, obviously, it's all about, you know, life's rubbish, so I'll have a Heineken, and it's all the way through. And this is something to go for. I buy this one. I completely buy this one. So I know that's contrary to what I think for the rest of the films, but I do feel that the shock of what has just happened, especially with it bomb beginning and all the rest of it, he's only had a few kills. This has come out of nowhere. A girl who he thinks is innocent has been completely drawn into this. He's got to go and play a poker game straight after this. I think actually the natural reaction would be to put some aspirin in a whiskey and shoot it down. I think that that is a perfectly natural reaction to that.
I definitely agree, but is this not something that should have been ironed out before they appointed him as a 00? That he can.
You could argue so that this is like the first. This is the first sort of time he's facing this level of, I don't know, threat, you know, the intensity of the mission.
Because it's not just like that. This fight's going on, is it? There's lots,
People are functioning alcoholics.
Yeah, lots of other factors that are affecting him.
Not me. It's not. right.
Obviously, he's treating his scars.
And yeah, he
he doesn't do a bad job, because then when we see him, it's not that ridiculous, is it? But when we get to the table, or is it so obvious that he's just been in a...
Well, he had some from the previous stuff, didn't he?
In
Bahamas. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd never know. Movie magic.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't particularly... I was...
yeah, I'd forgotten by the time he got back to the train.
No, exactly.
I'd say, you know, obviously in this film, they're showing and succeeding in doing so that, you know, Bond leads, Bond gets injured, he isn't some sort of superhero. So there is that slight thing of, I think Harry mentioned earlier, you know, or someone did, after his scars that he gets
at the
airport or whenever, like, it would be quite obvious that he was some sort of, or he's been in some sort of kerfuffle. I just thought it was interesting.
Inconsistent.
To see how much, well, no, I wasn't necessarily saying that, but, you know, it's a bit damned if they do, damned if they don't, because if they show his scars now, it gives the game away. But if they didn't, the fight wouldn't have been as realistic.
Yeah. I never thought anything of it at the time, to be honest. So.
Yeah.
When Bond comes back, of course, Le Chiffre notices that he's changed. He's changed his shirt, hasn't he, obviously?
Yeah.
Then it's just only a small...
Yeah. Yeah. This is like a nil-nil on Match of the Day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the fade out. Yeah, nothing's happening in the game. Go back to the room.
You can tell why we've put this on last tonight. Most United v Arsenal games these days, aren't they? Anyway.
Presumably, Mathis would be the one providing that commentary, you know.
Yeah, he's a horrible game. Yeah.
Alternative to Alistair Mann, who usually provides last.
More local games.
Yeah,
to
Burnley.
Burnley. He always got Wigan when they were in the Premier League.
Yeah.
A bit of Sheffield United as well.
He'll occasionally get City if they're playing someone shite.
Guy Mowbray's on a bigger game.
Yeah.
He's commentating the game that Tom's doing tomorrow night.
Yeah, he is. Could be there. Yeah. But yeah, so it's a very brief little scene of him playing cards or whatever. And then Bond ruins his second shirt by getting in the shower, doesn't he, now, with Vespa? Yeah, it's one of these sort of famous, iconic scenes, isn't it? It's quite arty, you could say, like the lovely Arnold score. We're going to have to talk about Bond sucking her fingers. I mean, I don't know what. I don't really know how to explain that, really.
No, it is arty, and I find it all quite self-knowing and distracting, and I struggle with it.
I mean, I had a problem with this scene pre-COVID when hand hygiene was not at the top of everybody's agenda. I don't think you should be licking warlord blood off any hands.
I don't know where they've been.
Yeah, exactly. It's just... it doesn't work for me, that particular. I like the him comforting her in the shower. She's obviously shell-shocked from what's gone on.
Yeah.
That's good. I just think the licking blood of your of your demise foes off another person's hands, it's just weird, I think. Get some soap on it, it'll be fine.
You know, 99%.
Sing happy birthday twice. You'll be right.
I think obviously it does show bond between them. Forgive the pun, but there's clearly like they've both been through the exact same traumatic experience. But for him, it's not as unusual, you know. And she's, I think, seeing it for the first time. I don't think her duplicity is anything. You know, I think this is all genuine on her.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I know what Harry's saying, that it's
you would really only get
this
necessary as well.
You'd only get this in a film. I know that sounds stupid because it's a James Bond film, but I don't
know. The other thing I don't know that perhaps confuses me, and this is, you know, another tiny thing, but is that a sexual thing? I don't mean, is it, you know, like symbolism or anything, but I mean, sucking someone's finger, is that like a fetish compared to caring for someone? Because is him sort of taking, you know, looking after her, consoling her, but then sucking her fingers?
Yeah,
out of score for this, people would have been like, "What on earth is going on? This is so weird."
Is he caring, or is he trying to seduce her? Or I don't really know.
No, I don't know, Harry. I mean, what I do know is that obviously Craig starts referencing his own fingers regarding it later. Like, so there is like this some kind of finger thing going on there, isn't there? Even if it's not meant to be there, Martin Campbell obviously was just going through a phase. I don't know, but like.
Like the Tarantino feet stuff.
Yeah, the Tarantino feet thing and the Campbell fingers, you know, it's...
I'm going to make fingers happen.
Yeah. Didn't really kick off like you'd like to.
To go back and watch all of his other films and see if there's finger action going on.
Well, tastes like strawberries in GoldenEye. Finger looking good. But she's obviously, Bond is so romantic, he puts the hot water on. That is what's happening, isn't it? She's for some reason she's put the cold water on, and then he's like, "No, this will help you."
I'd be interested to know what was Jennifer's reaction to this scene.
I think a bit like us, but she was a bit more warming to it. She did enjoy it, and she loves Eva Green, and she loved the chemistry. But I think the fingers were they were pointed out, like, "What's that?" Yeah. I think.
Yeah, I like the scene, to be honest. It's just that I don't understand what I don't understand what licking the fingers is going to do, to be perfectly honest. It's weird. It doesn't work for me, but the rest of the scene's absolutely fine. Yeah. The sentiment of the scene is absolutely, and the purpose of it to show a more sensitive side of Bond is, that works. And then he does this weird thing with the fingers. And it's
going through the various Bonds, who else could suck fingers? I do think Pierce Brosnan is perhaps going a little bit sucking on fingers.
But Roger Dalton, Moore definitely would.
Yeah. And the rest. Yeah.
Yeah, the rest.
Pierce would be
I'll
all
see
over
you
it.
Later.
Yeah. Yeah. Not Timothy Dalton. So.
Pierce
Connery has shoulders, wouldn't. Though, doesn't he? No. Tell him about the shoulder for Pierce.
Nibbling at that shoulder, yeah. Very good.
Bit of Danish.
Bit of Danish, yeah. Oh, my word. Vespa's asleep then. Then we get the shot. So presumably they stop at night. It's a bit like a test match, isn't it? Stumps, wasn't it? The last game. Yeah. And then we can have a little rest at the hotel. Go and, what was it? Pedalo. Maybe if there's one nearby. These are niche references to the untrained cricket audience.
Like,
American audience are just like, what?
Yeah. they've gone. We've already had too much cricket in this film, isn't it?
Let's not mention Flintoff, please.
Harry's famously not a fan of Freddie Flintoff.
What?
Sorry.
The man, not the player.
Yes, the man, not the player.
I hope so, yeah.
Oh, as a bloke, he seems like the most irritating person you could ever hope to, you could ever run into.
Right, John, sorry.
Can we get back onto Bond, please? Before I leave.
Fellow Lancastrian. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he can present, he can go on panel shows and all sorts.
Can he, though?
He does,
yeah.
He does all right.
Yeah, he does well.
He does okay.
It's okay. Sorry. Yeah. No, you were right. Yeah. So Mathis has planted the bodies in the cars of someone. I didn't. Whose car was it? It's not Michael G. Wilson again, is it?
It was the corrupt police officer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right, okay. So. Yeah. So it is Link. Good. Right. So yeah, I did understand it. Right. Melted your cold heart.
Is it definitely? I'm just thinking back. The two people who stood by the car, one of them isn't Michael G. Wilson.
Because he's already in jail, presumably.
I thought it was Michael G. Wilson, but I'm now thinking back, no, I don't know.
I'm sure it's Michael G. Wilson, because no, they wouldn't even have given him that much, made such a big deal out of it earlier, if they weren't going to then set him up with the dead bodies in his trunk.
He might not have been in the shot, because he's already in custody, but it's like more evidence on him, maybe.
I think he's shot from behind, because isn't it a POV shot from Mathis and Bond's... Yeah. On the balcony, maybe through binoculars as well.
So we had two scenes, massive role.
He's not doing anything else, he's on the set.
Unless it was a double for Michael G. Wilson.
Not been doing much since 2015, has he? But anyway, that's another... Mathis, another reference to Bond's character that you wouldn't... Why would he be interested in whether or not she'd melted his cold heart? Why would he care or know that Bond has a cold heart?
More just commentary again, from Mathis.
Well, exactly, yeah. Just for the purposes of the character, isn't it? Yeah.
But his clothes. Oh, so
yeah. He's a lovely man.
Yeah.
Chris, very Bond villain shot of Le Chiffre watching from the window.
Yeah.
As she's going on.
Yeah, it's great.
And then we've got third casino scene within this particular casino, yeah. Le Chiffre tells, I've put here.
Yeah.
I'm getting to terms with the parlance here.
So, yeah, and Mathis is commentating again, telling both Vesper and the viewers.
We're obviously flashing past the casino scene, and I just wanted like...
Oh, sorry, yeah.
No, it's great. Because I'm a massive, massive fan of the casino scenes.
Yes.
And I just want to explain why I am, if that's all right. So I accept that one of the criticisms that possibly you guys have is that it strips back some of the Bondian elements that we are all used to. What I really appreciate about this is that it actually takes a Bondian element that every single actor has been involved with. Every single Bond actor will have a casino scene at some point. And what it is taking a Bondian element, but it's actually taking that deeper. I mean, I quite like card games. I quite like watching them anyway. I'm a massive fan of The Sting. The Sting's all about all that stuff. But I even like subpar kind of stuff that's entertaining, like 21, I find it very
interesting. She's about to say 21?
No, yeah, exactly. I find that stuff, it entertains me. It's my kind of thing. I get that it's not everyone's. But I think that how it's used, because the whole book is the card game. That's the issue. And it takes that concept and it puts it in there. But how it mixes all this psychology in there in terms of like reading the people and Bond's smugness, how he can read everyone and right under his nose, it's just being all taken away from him. I think they build up tension incredibly well for what it is. I get that if you don't like cards or you don't understand cards, it can be slightly confusing that you're not entirely sure what it is. But what I think it's a modern interpretation of classic Bond here. And I'm a massive fan of it. I really like it.
Yeah, I have no objection to this. I think it's all pretty Bond. I think the setting, Bond's character at this point is still Bond. I'm still with it. I think it's as we go on after this that it gets more un-Bond, maybe.
And yeah, I think even though I'm not someone who likes poker or anything like that, I find myself, I can understand really what's going on. And I think they build the tension well, music at the right moments, it's shot really well. Again, this could be dropped into a scene, into a film now, and it doesn't look out of date at all. Mm. Yeah, I don't. I mean, it is still a thing that it's this card game lasts for quite a significant time of the running time. We're in the second half of the film now.
Yeah.
So, you know, by this point, normally in a film, you'd be, I don't know, you'd be.
Well, it's a 2 hour and 20 minute movie, isn't it? If it was, because they've spent the first hour, it's as we said previously, it's two separate movies, isn't it? For all intents and purposes. And this is, we're getting into the midpoint of the second movie, which is the actual mission at the Casino Royale. Yeah. And yeah, you've got what I like is you keep going back to the table, and then there's the plot is progressing, or there's an interlude in terms of an action sequence to break up the game itself. Mads Mikkelsen is so watchable in these sequences as well. He doesn't have a lot of dialogue, but he just looks the part fantastic.
Bit of acting.
Yeah, and it's just great watching him go toe to toe like this. It's very enjoyable.
I agree.
I obviously I've got some negative views about this film, and I don't understand poker, but I completely, I love hearing what John and James have said about it and what all it manages to accomplish and achieve like this. And the fact that it's different, you know, we have a standard casino scene in most films, but obviously this casino game matters more than any other Bond film. This does matter. So they've got to show it in depth. And I actually think this scene that we're just talking about now, where Bond misjudges Lachute's tell, is probably for me the climax of the poker game. This was the most exciting part, and a lot of it was down to David Arnold's music as well. He got it right in this point. I think for the climax of the game, there's not quite as much fanfare and stuff, but for me, this was the peak. I do think part of the problem is watching it first time, great and that, but I think when you know, again, it's like what I've mentioned before, when you know there's not much else to look forward to after.
Yeah,
it's sort of, it just feels like you're dropping down a level and dropping down further and further. If you knew that there were more set pieces coming later to do with airports and things like that, you know, like we had in the first half, then this is great stuff. But it feels like the beginning of the end of this now for me. second viewing. And I know they've got like a quick car crash in the middle and stuff like that. But it, like Matt said, it's 45 minutes, this game. Last 45 minutes, the running time, I think. It's a really long portion, big chunk.
Octopussy did it better, didn't it, in 5 minutes? No, right. And there was more at stake. No, there wasn't.
But what in the middle of this poker game, you have had the killing of Ivana, you have James Bond nearly dying of a heart attack.
Yeah.
You know, it is split up well. I do feel
I think it is. Yeah,
it's
well
paced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you could say that about any thriller, really. Once you've actually on a second watch, you know, it's inherent with the genre. Once you know once the tension has alleviated itself, so in the sense that you know what's going to happen, then obviously it's not as impactful as the first time around. And I think we've sort of discussed, haven't we, that this is much more leaning into being more of a modern thriller than perhaps previous Bonds have. And it seems that they've got one eye on that. Yeah, I think it works well. And as John says, they split the game up really well. There's plenty going on in terms of interludes in between being at the poker table.
Yeah, that would be my point. I know what Harry's saying. I think if you've got this in the book and you're being faithful to the book.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a big part of the plot. Campbell is doing his damnedest. He's doing a great job of somehow keeping everyone's interest. Even people like me, I can't stand card games. You know, I'm genuinely interested in what in the card game, and obviously I'm interested in the defibrillator and all that stuff as well. But I do think he's not only got the action punctuating it, he's got the stuff with Vespa, hasn't he? He's got the stuff with her, you know, I know it's all the characterization and the trust elements, which he's got to incorporate as well. It is a very difficult job. And I don't think many directors could have done it, to be honest, with limitations of the scripts. I don't mean it's a bad script. I mean, it's like, can you somehow get all these elements in 45 minutes, make it sharply edited and make sense and keep the plot going, keep the audience interest going, keep us invested with Bond and Vespa's relationship? Because there's a lot of dialogue as well within all this, that between the two of them particularly.
Very fair.
Just to go a bit more, you know, lowbrow, I think the second dress is better than the first dress, even though perhaps the first dress is more famous. Oh, well, the purple one's the one that everyone mentions, but the second one's better.
I'm a sucker for red dresses, so I love the last one in the final.
Oh, yeah.
Cooler than the red dress.
Not Lady in Red.
Yeah. I know, yeah. 40 million. The commentary continues, Bond will have to go all in to call his bluff. we know that, mate. So. But does that mean Le Chiffre wins by a double bluff? Is that what you'd call it?
Yes, because he's... Bond believes he's revealed Le Chiffre's tell, but Bond's actually just walked straight into his trap. So Bond believes that Le Chiffre is bluffing, but it's a double bluff, as you say, and he cleans him out. So now MI5 is directly funding terrorism.
I'd
love
disaster
to. I love the flicking of the chips by Le Chiffre.
So good.
Truman Lodge, yeah.
No, you're right. But it's lovely the little crisp noise it makes when they come together. And
like James said, Mads Mikkelsen in this whole game is just so watchable, unbelievably watchable.
He's properly magnetic through the whole thing.
Yeah,
and he's got a very, you know, the crying blood as well is very Bond itself, but he's got the sophistication and the steel as well on top of it, and he's clearly been working on some of his poker tricks as well in the lead film. You know, I don't know if that's inherently in the script or something that he's just brought to the role. I imagine it's the latter.
Yeah, I reckon it is. Mm. I reckon he's that good, isn't he? He is.
Yeah,
yeah, he is.
Then of course Vesper and Bond have another sort of lover's tiff at the bar. Yeah. I think
you actually so as well.
Ego,
ego,
bloody idiot.
You're an idiot.
Grabbing
my arm,
horrible.
So we're definitely off Bond, are we?
Yeah, that's what I think. I think he's really, you know, obviously when Craig was appointed Bond, they had to win you over, and I thought they really did that with the first half, but it just gets more and more horrible. Just
Bond
really
wins it all.
You're on
Bond loses
side
it all.
In the whole relationship. For me personally, he reminds me so much of. I'm probably going to wipe out a portion of our audience here, but he reminds me of like a rugby lad who drinks more and more on a night out and becomes more and more pathetic and annoying. And you know, then you've just got a heaped, muscled man unconscious lying somewhere, and it's just so embarrassing. I think that's the journey that Craig goes on in this film, to be honest.
He is a rugby lad, isn't he? I'm sure. I bet he is. I don't know. Although he's a Liverpool fan.
He's awful to Vespa. That's the first thing I will say.
A bit stressed, in fairness.
He's very stressed. There is a flip side to this in terms of, I may have read this wrong. I think that Bond did find out Le Chiffre's tell. And it's not that Le Chiffre was necessarily initial double bluffing, but later on, the insinuation is that Vesper told him what the tell was.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
Because Vesper obviously is going back to going to quantum. Vesper is what's the best way of putting it? She doesn't want to be. She's actually a quantum agent. She's in debt to them. She's having to work for them because of that. So whilst it's not nice to call anyone a bloody idiot, she screwed him over at this point. It's her who's passed that information on.
He didn't know that.
He doesn't know that. I'm not defending him.
Yeah.
I'm just saying he doesn't know that. And then she's refusing to give out the extra £5 million to get back in, knowing full well that actually, in my interpretation, is that he had him. And it was only because he told the tell that he used it as a double bluff.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's a really strong theory. And it speaks to that rewatchability, doesn't it? Because once you know the end and you know how Vesper was entwined with the organisation, then you can watch it from you can watch her actions from a totally different perspective. Then it's like fitting it together. It's like
Is there an element that you're supposed to think in a few minutes, or sorry, in 10-20 minutes or whatever, that Mathis has tipped thingy off about the tell? Yeah.
Yes.
So then it's almost that you replace that with Vesper because it was actually her. Is that
yes?
It's
and she sets it up so that Mathis will be the patsy, essentially, because Bond isn't even looking in her direction.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about it in terms of poker, Vesper double bluffs with Mathis. It's this whole kind of poker analogy thing going on, where Bond says at the beginning, he talks about you play the person, you don't play the cards. And actually, all the way through, Vesper is completely playing Bond and playing Mathis.
Mm.
What a film. So many layers.
It does get the whole dynamic.
You get the double meaning.
It nails it, doesn't it?
Excalibur.
Read that aloud, please. If you look it up. I froze a dagger. Right. more famous scenes coming up. Does it look like a give a damn?
About the vodka martini?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, Harry, you must hate that.
What is it? So I've got it written down here. Vodka martini, and then someone says shake and not stir, and then I've got someone in quotes saying, do I look like a give a damn? I can't remember who says what.
That's Bond doesn't give a damn whether or not it's shaken or stirred.
Oh, yeah, right, okay.
Paul Barman doesn't know whether he's coming or going.
He just goes on and tells
us the night before. It's like, well, gee, I would have thought he was into all this.
Yeah. I don't know what drink he got.
I don't like him. But clearly he's rattled, isn't he, by the whole thing?
Yeah.
He's completely shaken and
not stirred.
But not stirred. I think that's right. I think that's good in some way to show that he's not focusing on a drink. He's got a bigger mission. I think that's right. It's just it's one negative comment after another, isn't it, now?
You
know, when you've had a bad day at the office where you've
lost
millions of pounds in directly funded terrorism for your own arrogance.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
Yeah. We meet Felix properly for the first time, the dour monosyllabic character played by Jeffrey Wright.
Oh, you're not liking Jeffrey Wright as Felix.
I like Jeffrey Wright.
I love his growly voice. It's wonderful.
It's just there's not really much to him, is there? I mean,
he's not got a lot to do, granted, in this film.
In Quantum either, that he gets a bit more maybe, but I hope we see more of him properly in No Time to Die, to be honest.
Though I agree, Tom, I was so thankful for his appearance in this scene because just
get her away from him.
Just because, you know, we're so intensely involved in this trio or four characters, you're really intensely invested with them and all of them are sad and all of them are getting angrier and angrier. Felix is quite calm in that scene, and me as a viewer, I needed him to be like that on the stairs. I needed him to slow everything down, stop, be happy, you know, keep going with the job, kind of that. I don't think it worked for me on the first few times I saw it, but I really appreciated his presence more than ever, I think.
Good.
Yeah, it's good.
Really 007 is part of the Pod Dojo Network.
Unbelievably, this is the first time on this podcast we have talked about Felix Leiter.
It is, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Any Felix.
Because he's not been in any of the ones.
No, he hasn't, no.
And the character of Felix Leiter is such an anomaly. Mm. So weird. Like, yeah. From portrayal to portrayal, you just don't know what you're going to get. No. Well, I'm going to say it for me. David Hedison is light years ahead of any of them. He's he is Sanchez. Oh, he's just Sanchez. But after that, I quite like Jeffrey Wright's portrayal. There's a bit of There's a bit of flirtation there.
He gets very in his face, doesn't he? Snogging his face off.
But there's a bit. But remember the one from Thunderball? Is it Rick Van Nutter?
Yeah.
He has a bit of that obsession as well. Like he goes, on you, everything looks good. You know, he's like,
fanboy.
There is this kind of like with Felix Leiter. He's like the Robin to the Batman, but he's absolutely obsessed with Bond. He just wants, you know, he loves Bond. But actually, you know what? Jeffrey Wright, he's good in this. He's good. Sorry.
He just gives that air of being a cool operator, doesn't he? Sorry, Matt.
Yeah. No, the only thing I was going to say is that in the book, because I've read it quite recently, Felix is quite a sort of charismatic, you know, chatty, you know, really likable guy. So obviously they've made the decision for this. Not that I've disagreed with what's been said, but, you know, right, we've got Felix. So in the book, he's like that. He's really like charismatic and chatty and stuff like that. Shall we do that or no? Let's do understated and dour, you know, to make him different from all the other... the rest of the cast like that, so...
Is David Hedison any scenes after this? I can't remember him being in the film again.
I'm not sure he is.
Does he have one scene, maybe?
He's in the casino, that's it, yeah.
Yeah,
he's in a second scene. Like, he takes when Bond wins, he goes to pick up the sheath.
Yeah,
but obviously, he doesn't do a very good job of that.
Must have been a lot of just watching and being an extra for Jeffrey Wright, wasn't it? On this film,
yeah,
I feel a bit sorry for him. Though. The actor, of course, just a quick resume of his. People might know him most for Westworld, if people have seen Westworld recently. He's very good in that. He is going to play Commissioner Gordon in The Batman. If people didn't know that one, we've got Colin Farrell in it, obviously.
A great
Robert Pattinson, high hopes. Well, they're all good, aren't they? All Batman films, apart from the Justice League, maybe.
Anyway,
in other words, Batman v Superman Dodge is good.
Got it.
And Batman and Robin, obviously.
Yeah, Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Batman Forever, obviously.
We love that.
What FYR. A film!
FYR, great film.
FYR champion.
Has anyone seen Angels in America?
No.
Not recently. Mike Nichols, Al Pacino, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it's one of these HBO masterpieces of the best actors you've ever seen doing the best acting you've ever seen.
So you were watching it. Were we still at home? Or you?
Years.
And I was off sick, off you know, from work. I felt really ill. And then, you know, you were watching, you were watching this program about, like, the AIDS epidemic in America, and I was like,
it didn't make you feel well.
I'm about to die.
yeah, it's pretty stressful.
Put Casino Royale on.
No, he was in that basically. So he won a Tony, an Emmy, and a Golden Globe for that.
Wow.
So, you know, before people had really heard of him in England, certainly, I think this was the first big film he was in, maybe. He was class in that. That's well worth seeing that. This is set in America, though. It's a bit more whimsical and dreamlike, and Emma Thompson, Al Pacino. Incredible. Anyway, he was in Presumed Innocence, underrated Harrison Ford film. Must have been very young.
Was
he?
Right, yeah.
Chris? He was in the David Arnold scored Shaft, of course. Yeah. A very different part in that, if anyone's seen that.
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Like a sort of gangster.
He's great in it.
Yeah.
He is great,
Samuel totally Jackson's different. Shaft and Christian Bale's the villain.
Yeah. But then, incredible. A bit like this film, he sort of drifts out of the film. Don't really see him in the last 20, 30 minutes.
I can't.
What a waste, He was Colin Powell, babyishly, in W. the Oliver Stone, yeah. Source Code.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hunger Games, obviously. The Hunger Games films.
Yeah,
great.
And I'm sure everyone's personal favourite, Lady in the Water.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, FYR, mate. FYR.
Get it on, yeah.
Underrated, right?
I'm not sure about that one. Might be a tall order, even for us. We could do Shyamalan, but I'm not sure we could go to The Lady in the Water.
I don't think even Rob likes that one. So. I'm sorry, he was married to somebody for 14 years, but it's over now, I think. Carmen Ejogo.
Oh, yeah.
Who's underrated in English?
Is she? I didn't know.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
She's a good actress.
She was in something I saw recently. Well, obviously, she's in Metro, of course, with Eddie Murphy. We all know that. But when she was young, yeah. But yeah. I saw her recently in.
And she's English in it, actually. She's English.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she's in that. Yeah. Yeah, Roman J. Israel. Has anyone seen that?
Yes. Fantastic.
No. Got Denzel Washington got Oscar nominated for it. No one's ever heard of it. From the writer director of, you know, Nightcrawler. Yeah. So I don't know why. I don't know what people want. Colin Farrell. It's so good.
It's really amazing. It's really good.
I really recommend that, yeah. Love is possibly his best ever performance, honestly.
It's Denzel, very against type for Denzel.
Yeah, he's like slightly, possibly autistic, like socially awkward lawyer, but brilliant mind. Yep. Some of the greatest suits, again, you'll see.
Great afro.
Yeah, brilliant afro, brilliant. And when he sort of does it up as well. So Jeffrey Wright, yeah. But he doesn't get to do much, does he, in this particular...
No, he's more from this scene on the stairs. In terms of basically Bond's busted out, but Jeffrey Wright understands that he's got Le Chiffre on the run and he's willing to stump up the dough.
Yes, that's right.
Finish the job, basically. Yeah.
We can do a deal.
Yeah, that does happen in the book.
I'm bleeding chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got some great lines.
Yeah, it is a good line. Yeah. Why do they get? They go back in with a knife, don't they?
Yeah, no, that's when he stops him on the stairs. No, he's going to go kill him. He's going to go kill him with a butter knife because he's had enough.
Blunt instrument. Bond. Yeah. You know, that's his answer to everything. He's just going to go and kill him.
Stab him in the car park.
Felix stops him and says, "No.
Okay.
There's a better way."
Yeah,
it's just so good that the film The Accountant basically took the inspiration of Daniel Craig with a steak knife and decided to fulfil it and actually did a scene with it.
Yeah, he's autistic in that, isn't he? Is he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's decent that. Yeah. Obviously, it's called The Accountant, so there's absolutely no maths or anything like that. Yeah. Right, that's another one of my theories. Yeah, we're back in the casino then.
Yeah,
and of course now Le Chiffre has used whatever he had in his. Inhaler, is he? It's a poison Bond.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
He thinks that Bond's busted out now.
No.
Isn't this the point where they poison him?
Yeah.
What, you get the inhaler?
I thought it was from the inhaler. I thought it was the whole plot point of him having the inhaler was that that's where he was hiding the.
No, that's where he puts the. That's where Bond puts the tracker thing.
Yeah.
I know.
This is separate.
It's multifunctional. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No. I think the poison comes separately from the inhaler.
Yeah.
Right.
Click the inhaler three times and poison comes out.
Oh, so that's slightly not as good as I thought then. That's,
down a few points.
Yeah. Deal me out because Bond is obviously he's going to die, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of poison this is. It must be some of the worst ever. So we've got the sort of shaky cam, pissed on a night out, the public toilets, forcing himself to be sick, isn't he? Is it, what is it? He put salt in? I can't remember.
Yeah. As he's going to the bathroom, it's good because his training kicks in, and even though he's having a heart attack, he's like, I need to flush out my system. So he grabs a tumbler and a salt shaker, doesn't he? And then tries to make himself sick in the gents. And then he does a hilarious drunken. He's not drunk, but he looks drunk because he's going across the.
Yeah, and that's used as the poster for the film. What on earth is that about? It's so weird. It only dawned on me this time. It's like, if you just look at the poster, it's like, you know, he's doing a massive pout, isn't he? And he's looking at the camera, obviously.
With his bow tie on.
Yeah. But in the film, it's because he's like drunkenly going across the street to get to his car.
He's dying.
Yeah.
He's like gurning and grinning and sweating.
Oh, yeah. I think you sent a screenshot, Harry, of one of the laughs. It looked like he's laughing in it.
Yeah, really. It's when he gets into
his car and
sat in the seat. Yeah. And there's a whole lot of camera work going on here.
Yeah.
Disorientating editing.
And we get a bit of commentary, don't we? More commentary. Because then we've got like his MI6 are alerted, aren't we?
Yeah, another conference call.
Yeah.
Oh, I love these GPs who are on call and the MI6.
Oh, they're so crisp.
Headquarters. Yeah.
The
Jamie wasn't Dr. Molly Warmflush.
No, it wasn't. Do you know who the woman is?
Who's
commentating? One of them. She's the scary friend in Extras. You know, the bunny's daughter.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. You're my best friend.
Yeah.
That's the one rule. Never let down your
mind. Yeah.
Never let down your public.
Some teeth, tit, some teeth.
Yeah, never let down your public.
What a show.
Amazing.
Yeah, so
the best episode of Extras. That's the Les Dennis one, isn't it?
Les Dennis.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, mate. Just... American audience particularly, got to see that again.
She's
what, one of these the crowd on
honestly,
the conference call.
The conference call.
That is so good.
That's a little run for her, working with Les.
Yeah, very good.
Beauty guy. So, yeah, lovely.
Funny, yeah.
Gone, I was living a lie.
Little bastard. My watch.
Oh, Bunny. Love Bunny. Yeah. You're saying he does kick in his training. You think, oh, Bonnie's doing well then, but he's pathetic. He just can't get the thing in time. That's what she said.
It's pathetic. He's literally dying.
I know. But is that done so that she saves him and then you've got that?
Yeah. I do love that even when he's dying, he dies smugly. He basically, you know,
a great death.
It's that bit where he goes, "You'll be dead in 2 minutes, Bond, if you don't." I'm all ears. Like, you know, it's smug he says it.
Piss off. Yeah. So, anyway, so he falls down and amazingly Vesper suddenly appears and sticks the thing in. I don't know how to say so. It's sounding rude, but...
There's a wire short, isn't there, on the defibrillator? Yeah.
That was very well.
And it's a crucial moment because, again, this deepens his feeling towards her because she did literally save his life.
Yeah.
So she can't be double bluffing. The audience must be thinking, no, it's... If they were worried about whether she was a rat, you dirty rat, they don't think of that now.
Well, this is the point. This is the turning point, isn't it? This is when we realise, when you look back in retrospect, that she loves him. Because actually, if you think about it, she could just let him die.
Yeah,
She has no loyalty to him whatsoever. Her job is to get the funds for the sheaf.
That isn't referenced then in the future. It should, like in Quantum. You know, like they're trying to persuade, and at the end, M's trying to persuade Bond that, you know, she did actually care for you. They don't mention the fact that, well, hang on, he did save your life, you know.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, there's 100% she absolutely cares and loves him. But this is the first point where you realise it, because she has no reason to do what she does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Midpoint reversal?
Possibly, yeah.
It's not a naturally structured film, is it? Though?
No, it's not.
It's not going to go to Sid Field, this, I don't think.
Midpoint reversal of the second half of the film.
But then there's more to
it. Oh, no.
I've got here that he says, "I wouldn't dream of it," which is something Brosnan says quite a lot. But
I wouldn't dream of it. Yeah.
Those were some of the notes I said. This is one of those scenes, and I'm not necessarily knocking it as shot as a scene, but it's quite a difficult scene to watch. It's quite unpleasant and like...
many unpleasant scenes.
No, so I find... I don't... Particularly as we get to this second half of the film, I struggle to watch it and I... This is a real non-Sunday afternoon type scene.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The stuff...
It makes you feel a bit poorly, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And then, I mean, by the time we come to this torture scene, I'm phoning in sick to work. I feel so ill.
Yeah. Lily livered, Beth. It's. But then, of course, he's like, "Oh, I'm well on me. No, I want to just play poker now again."
Yeah.
And he gets up.
Lad.
Sort of, lad.
Rugby lad.
Legend.
Probably with like a urine stain in his pants and stinking.
So Felix loses, and Le Chiffre is obviously stunned to see Bond return to the table. Yeah. And then there's a little Bond line, very Brosnan, maybe. Yeah. That last time nearly killed me.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
No Bond music, though.
No, that would have been a good point, isn't it?
Yeah, just something.
Burn out, bam!
Yeah, maybe not quite.
Just a...
Yeah, it's a lovely, really good line and a really good re-entry.
Yeah, I think he's attempting re-entry, sir.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, dear. No jacket, though, from Bond? Should have been allowed at the table?
I think when you gamble him that much, you can wear what you want to the table, to be honest.
And again, sorry, just to point, for the help with poker, there's a point where it's just Le Chiffre versus Leiter, the bit before. It's just those two. Yeah. And for me, I understand that as everyone else has lost, everyone else has been eliminated. But then for the next scene, they're all back around the table, so it feels like it's, you know, we're starting all over again.
Second innings. Reset.
Yeah, maybe they were just having a little break, like Bond was when he was dying in a car park.
Can you just take breaks? Sort of.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Yeah,
collecting
yeah.
time, kind of, just out, when, yeah, whenever yeah. you can.
With yeah. poker, you can, I cannot remember the word now. You can withdraw. You don't yeah. have to play. You can fold. That's the word I'm trying to yeah. say. And so there's like two or three rounds before the final. So it's quite highly likely that Mark Henry and the Japanese guy had already folded in that round.
Sexual chocolate.
But they are back. The back.
I'm going to give it all to you.
He's off to see Mae Young. That's a good wrestling reference.
Very good.
More.
More power. Is anyone, I mean, people will have been to real casinos, but if you just go to, like, if you ever go to one, when I was growing up, or when I was, you know, as soon as I was 18 and went to one, it's such a disappointment. You know,
after seeing
Bond going to these incredible glamorous casinos, dinner jacket. Oh, if you go to Manchester, like the Hard Rock Casino, it's just scallies, you know, playing. Yeah.
It's like the worst thing ever.
No dress code, trainers. Company. Yeah.
You can get like pizza and stuff.
Lights at full, absolutely full brightness and awful, dreadful you get experience.
Ale sandwiches and a pint of flat lager if you're lucky.
Yeah.
So, there's no martinis on tap there.
So if you don't understand the card games, there's very little to appeal to me.
Oh, food. Yeah.
Everyone else is just playing in silence. So. Yeah.
Sheffield, people used to go after a night out, go to the
really
casino.
Really sobers you up, though, to be fair. Yeah. It's quite good. At... Yeah. Anyway, there are brilliant poker fans, I'm sure. There are great ways of doing it. But people, a lot of people do it at home, though, don't they, of course?
Yeah.
Yeah. They can't afford to do this if you need 10 million in this game. So. Mathis is still explaining the game to Vesper and the audience at the moment.
Yeah.
So everyone goes all in. Le Chiffre calls Bond because he thinks he's bluffing. He nods to the babe, so she's like involved in it as well, presumably, in terms of tells and all this. And then Bond wins 150 million. I can't remember, was it high hat or full flush? I can't remember. Someone will tell me how he wins.
High fat flush.
High fat, yeah.
Yeah. Someone who knows a lot about poker, I read an article online, said that there is absolutely no way you could get these four hands from four players. Like, they're like the four highest hands that you could put. Yeah. Every single one of them's a winner.
Winner every time.
Yeah.
So you're talking about he's won now.
Yeah,
150 million.
The thing that I didn't, like I sort of mentioned before, it didn't feel like there was a big climactic moment. I thought there could have been something where, like, you see onlookers, you know, tensely watching what's going to happen and a bit of music, but really,
this
it just looks like there's no difference between this scene and the first scene of the game. It just feels like there's no way we've known it was the end, other than the fact that it's
everyone just goes back to normal and carries on. Bond just walks out, no one like comes up to me like, whoa, you know, like if someone just won 150 million, you'd be like sucking up some, kind of a drink, you know, maybe get a bit of that money, wouldn't they? It's so weird.
It's a private game. 500k or a million, doesn't he? He's just like there you go.
Octopus, yeah.
Buy yourself a new waistcoat, lovely.
Yeah.
It's so very kind. That is silly money.
Yeah.
The amount of time that's been dedicated to it.
Yeah, I agree.
The amount of effort they've put into investing the audience into it. For some reason, it doesn't seem to have a big triumphant moment.
It's so
and
weird.
I feel that that's a little bit of a letdown for the audience, in my opinion.
Missing a kiss off line, isn't it? Or maybe he could have gone like a bit Chris Tarrant on him.
Yeah,
I know what you mean, Harry. It does, because you know he's going to win. Obviously, he's going to win.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the film would be. Now the US and the UK government have directly funded terrorists.
High stakes. Yeah. And then we have a lovely dinner scene. It's quite Bond. Possibly the most gorgeous restaurant.
I love this, actually. I love this.
I don't know why there's no one else in. Presumably it's after hours.
After hours, yeah.
Yeah.
I love very that idea. Cozy. It's sort of something massive happening and a big development, a big celebration, even though there wasn't one. But then you just have a quiet meal. I love that idea. I really like it.
This is Bond's equivalent of going out for a dirty kebab after a
It is, caviar, though.
Yeah.
But this is more Bond Begins, isn't it? So I think I'll call that a Vespa.
Is this the first time... does he say that? And is this one of the times where he then goes, that was a good line?
Yes, he says that, yeah.
And he goes, it was a good line. And it's like, the last thing you do is make a chat-up line and then say... That was a good line. I mean, can you imagine?
It's like first date, isn't it?
Yeah. Again, it does remind me of that rugby player who's got a load of size and everything, but pretty hopeless, really, when it comes to talking to women. And
I think he's all right. He's self-deprecating in this scene.
Oh, so that's what it's meant to be, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on board with 95% of what he's saying. But, mate, in the next film, he manages to get Strawberry Fields into bed by saying, do you want to look at my stationery? I mean, that's
shut up.
Shut up, like
right, a strike.
Yeah. More detective work, though. He identifies Vespa's been given this necklace by a boyfriend. Yeah. So there is, it's quite nice how there is, there's more to this. What's going on? And you don't think, she shouldn't be being like this with Bond. She's got a boyfriend. It's not that, is it? It's like, there's sort of more to her story background going on.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
More analysing Bond, of course. He isn't bothered about killing. I think something is driving you, I've written down here. And yes, I think I'll never find out what that is. That's clumsy for me, that. That's sort of saying there's going to be some kind of twist, there's and I haven't found out yet what it is, but the audience, you will find it.
Keep watching.
It is a good scene. Just a few of these lines I just didn't quite need.
They're more like lines to set up something that's coming later in the...
Could be a bit more subtle.
In the finale, yeah.
But he hasn't been subtle throughout the film, has he?
No.
So I don't know.
It's true, No, you're right, yeah.
I'm not
the screenwriting versus character, which is more important, I suppose.
One thing I'll say is that, again, he's read people pretty well at times throughout this film, and he just doesn't read Vespa. And he because he's let his guard down, and because he's he's talking
about...
You've
got your armour down.
Yeah, all that. And he said, I think someone's driving you, and he's just talked about the Algerian love knot. And he's happy just to talk because he trusts her.
Yeah.
And he's completely... It's just right under his nose that it's, every single bit of this now is flawed because of what's happened.
Yeah. It was tainted.
He's thinking, she saved my life, she's on the level... If he had any doubts at all after the defibrillator incident, she's well and truly in his I can trust her books, isn't it? Isn't she? Sorry.
But we don't think in the end that she will. We'll talk about it later maybe, but she's not making him fall in love with her.
No.
And she is falling in love with him as well, obviously.
Yeah.
Accidentally, on purpose. Vespa then gets a text by Mathis, presumably it was Ellipsis.
Yeah.
So...
No. I think it was WUU2. So what you up to?
But it wasn't from Mathis, though, was it? It was from the sheaf, was it?
Oh, I think it would have been Mathis.
Huh? So complicated.
I think she got a legitimate text from poor Mathis. I think she got a legitimate text from poor Mathis and then got ambushed by Le Chief's goons on her way to go and meet
Mathis. But that's why he thinks Mathis is in on it, isn't it?
Exactly,
that's... Because then, again, the same walk across the same bit outside.
No, but I don't understand Mathis. I don't know what he's putting together there. Is it just, hang on.
There needs to be a traitor and he names one.
But he doesn't know she's going to be kidnapped.
No, what's dawned on him there?
Is it training.
That he's not seen Mathis for five... The audience haven't seen Mathis for 5 or so minutes. That's...
Yeah.
So, Matheson.
I don't.
Might have a drink with him.
I don't understand what's tipped him off.
Yeah.
That Mathis is a traitor just by her mentioning his name. I don't. Have I missed something?
Well, that's the end of the game, isn't it? He's presuming that's the end of the mission, is he?
Yeah.
Like, he's having a nice meal, like say, kebab after the night out.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is he expecting there to be some kind of twist?
I don't quite understand there what
made him twig in his mind that Mathis is a traitor.
I'll have to watch it again quite closely, maybe.
I'm sure there is some. I don't know.
Good point.
But
trust me, you don't need to watch it again because
right,
it won't help you. No.
Right.
I've thought the last couple of times I've seen that, I've always thought, what is it? What is it that he's? And
she must say something. I can't remember what the line is, but she must say something that sounds not quite on the level. And his spy training just goes into overdrive then. And he's like, there's something wrong here. I think
maybe he knows.
Sometimes it's just like, he's a super spy and bosh. That's he figures it out.
We've got Mathis wouldn't just text her or he'd, you know, it doesn't sound like him. But then you've said it is Mathis doing it, so I don't know.
I'm going to backtrack on that. I'm going through it. Because obviously the she says, your friend Mathis is actually my friend Mathis.
Yeah.
So I am going to backtrack and say that it was the sheaf who sent the message, because obviously he's in contact with Vesper, and that Vesper's basically said to the sheaf, go. It doesn't explain any of Math's queries, which I think I haven't got a clue about.
You've given me a few more then.
No,
because when... Your friend Mathis was my friend Mathis. We've not got there yet. Sorry, I'll ask you when we get there. Sorry.
Okay. Well, yeah. So he's staggering out again into the outdoor area. You just see Vesper at that exact moment be put in the car. But was that staged then? Was she pretending?
I think so. Yeah.
To be seen.
Or was it the fact that they've lost all the money, so she's fuming?
I don't know.
Because he should be dead in the car park, shouldn't he? But she saved him, and now he's come back in, won all the money, and Lashifa is right.
Yeah, that's true. So he should want to kill her, shouldn't he?
Yeah, punishing her.
Oh yeah.
He goes in his the different Aston Martin.
Yeah.
Vanquished or whatever. Yeah.
I like the shot of his car in pursuit of the other car, and it's dark, but the lights, the winding road, it looks beautiful.
It's very crisp. Like Tokyo Drift, isn't it?
Yeah. Even though I think it's quite a generic thing in terms of, you know, a car chase. Like lit, it stands out for me a lot. The way it looks is pretty stand out from other films. I don't know why it seems really recognizable, that chase at night through those lovely like valley. It's so nice to look at. Another straight face from Daniel Craig when chasing or when doing things. No, if Pierce Brosnan were doing it, you know, there would be the and facial expression. I remember when Clive Owen was, you know, touted to be Bond. We mentioned that, didn't we? I thought, but he doesn't really change his face much. He can't really move his face. I can't imagine doing actresses. I think Daniel Craig suffers from that. But I also think
that is what we want. Yeah.
I think he intentionally doesn't like showing some kind of weakness when chasing someone. He doesn't want to doesn't want to show any breathlessness or something like that. Yeah. It's a bit like, you know, when you'd play on the playground as kids and you'd sort of pretend to be the villain, like you'd pretend to be T-1000, wouldn't you? You know, like chasing someone. You want to be scary, so you pull a straight face. I think Daniel Craig's Bond's a bit like that, like intentionally not being breathless or changing his face at all.
Or opening his mouth.
It's all closed. Isn't it?
Take time is 6 minutes. Check.
I watched Munich for the first time the other night. I thought it was really, really good. And I think I did notice Harry a couple of times he was keeping his mouth firmly shut.
Yeah, look out for it. I can't remember whether I said it. Did I mention that it reminds me of the Raptor? Of a Raptor?
You did. I think. Yeah. I think you did. Yeah. Still reminds me. Yeah. Every breath you take. But it is. It's like the shortest car chase in the Bond franchise, isn't it? Yeah. It was really good the first time you saw it at the cinema. Just that shocking image of her in the middle of the road.
Incredibly
brilliant stunt, isn't it?
Yeah.
The stunts. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That is an old school car up a ramp, but it flips so many times.
Yeah, I know.
Incredible.
Real.
I don't know what speed he hit that ramp at, but it's just incredible. That stunt driver, I hope he's alright.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It just wrecks that Aston Martin. I don't know how many times they did it.
Oh, what a shame.
How many Aston Martins do you think they went through?
Oh,
it's
no,
got to be
no,
a one and done. It's got to be a one and done, hasn't it? Sure.
Yeah, like the Man with the Golden Gun stunt, that had to be. Yeah. But to be fair, you know, in the last film we had the invisible car. So to then now have this, you know, a practical stunt with a car and it lifting over. It's
being amazing.
And, you know, there's no way anyone, you know, just a practical stunt, it just looks so good because it's actually happening. I know it's
you can't fail to say,
but That is a car.
They got some kind of ram, didn't they, to do it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think there was the stunt, not her probably, but somebody was there that they had to do.
No, then the CGI.
Oh, shit. All right, so it's not
dummy in the road, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they put, obviously, they'll then erase the ramp afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Generate the flip. But yeah, I mean, it's probably not even an Aston Martin. They probably just put an Aston Martin style chassis over the top of it.
They've rebadged it, you fool.
Yeah. Yeah. How many Aston Martins do you think they crashed? Probably not.
Yeah, no.
They did that.
Probably don't even let him drive the Aston Martin.
Yeah. They did get an air cannon, apparently, to sort of lift it off.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Behind this, yeah, to propel it into the air. And yes, it flipped 7 times, which is a world record for a stunt.
Wow.
Whoa. Martin Campbell.
Amazing
show. Yeah, yeah.
Is that planned that it's going to flip 7 times, or is that just...
I know, they can't know that.
Yeah, yeah. No. Like they do it 6, like, no, back to the beginning. Yeah. Again. Yeah. Like this stunt driver body dragged from the record.
Just how good it looked, and this is such a weird thing to say, but just how choreographed it looks as well. Like how it flips so perfectly every single time.
Yeah.
It's just sensational.
Yeah.
It looks like there should be judges giving it like 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, not 7.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be hyperbolic, but it's one of the best car flips I've ever seen. To be perfect.
Yeah.
The way that the shot's composed as well, because it's quite a high angle.
Yeah,
as well, as suppose, wide as well. Yeah,
and it's, I suppose, the only... her face, don't you? Just as it's coming towards us, she looks absolutely terrified.
The only shame, slightly, is that it's in the trailer, isn't it? But you can't, you know.
It was still shot in the trailer. Yeah.
There's very few stunts that James Bond is involved in where he actually fails. Like it's like an amazing stunt that is actually causes him damage.
It's a crash.
Yeah. But
very few would, can think of.
Good
like
point.
That.
Is this meant to be? Oh, you know, he wouldn't just run her over. He's got a heart.
Oh yeah, but, yeah.
You
yeah.
know, he would have crashed if he'd banged into her as well, wouldn't he? So probably. So a sick conversation. But we get the brilliant Krat, who's involved again. Henchman Clemens Schick.
Yeah.
And he takes out the chip, and then we get the line, "My old friend Mathis." So yeah. Mathis is now involved with kidnapping Bond. Can someone explain this?
Well, I think Mashifa is pretending to blame.
Yeah,
but you see him.
I imagine it's covering Vespa's tracks.
Yeah, but why? Why
I don't know why. Because why would Mashifa
want? Why would Mashifa want to be covering up for Mathis and not telling you? And if he knew about Vespa when he's got him, wouldn't that have been a great? You know, I don't want to criticize it too much. You know. It's difficult. It's annoying when someone really picks holes, and so I don't want to be like that. But when he's like torturing and stuff, wouldn't a brilliant point have been to like, you know, she's not really in love with you. She's the one who's in league, you know.
But then he wouldn't be able to get the information that he wanted because he needs the password, doesn't he, for the money. That's why he's torturing him. And he uses Vespa as...
Yeah, that's fair point.
...as an incentive.
Yeah.
So if Bond knew, screaming in the next room. Yeah, if Bond knew that Vespa had already sold him out, then he wouldn't give. Then he's definitely not going to give any of the information. But if he cares for Vespa, like Le Chiffre seems to think, then he can be coerced into.
Yeah, so maybe that explains why he has to say about the Mathis thing as well. Then.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is she really being tortured in the next room?
No.
No.
So then. That goes against what we said about. Oh, he is actually angry and wants to kill her.
You think she is?
Yeah. I don't know.
I think she is. She's no bruises or scars
or anything.
That would be the most treacherous thing she's ever done if she's pretending to scream in the next room like that. That'd be awful to find out.
They might have a gun to her head, like, go scream now.
A bit like three, two, one. That brilliant scene in the most recent series of Line of Duty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I think is happening. Yeah.
Which is just so good. But anyway,
my goodness, that scene was good.
You've got to remember with Vespa at this
point. Ed's bastard.
We don't know the backstory at this point on a first watch, but she's completely beholden to this organisation because she's trying to save her husband, isn't she? So she'll do whatever they tell her to. So if she's if they say scream, well, we're torturing Bond in the other room, then she'll do it.
Oh yeah, yeah. And she did work for MI6, so she has been blackmailed into this.
Yeah.
Oh. It's not she's a mole, is it?
No,
she's an agent who's turned.
Yeah, she's been compromised.
Because of the blackmail. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like they brought her into this to do this.
She's not an actual baddie, she's been compromised because of who she was married to.
Yeah. by Killer Phil. Yeah. Right. Really the
worst. Join us for part 5, where Bond is tortured again. This time he's naked. We learn of Vesper's deception. And then we have a finale that pretty much falls flat.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.